I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Welcome to Friends with Friends. This is a podcast where we get our friends to dissect an episode of Friends, and I've already said the word friends a lot. I'm Pete Allison, this is Dave Cribb.
You're freaking me out now, because this is the first episode anyone's listened to for 29 episodes.
I know what you're
going to
say.
You said the exact same thing, word for word, and the past two episodes, you've really been flipping it up.
It's like putting my
rhythm out and all that sort of stuff.
I just felt like some change was necessary.
Yeah, and it's nice, and I appreciate it, but you know, we might have to talk about this off, when we're not recording a little bit later.
At least saying the script beforehand.
Exactly, right? The voices you can hear in the background are those. It might sound like you've heard one voice so far. Oh, no, you've heard two. Our friends this week, Pete, it's a double friend. Is this the first time we've done a double friend?
It literally is, yeah. First time we've ever had more than one
person.
It's
exciting, isn't it?
Two for one.
2 for 1. Alana and Lisa, it's the Mac Twins. Hey, guys.
Hello.
How are you?
We're well.
Yeah?
We're well.
Good. Lisa's just hoovered a magnum.
I'm excited by that.
Do you know what I mean? As soon as I'm in positive poly mode this week, and I'm wearing shiny trousers and eating ice creams, because why not?
What's your guys' relationship with friends in general?
So we came to friends quite late. I think primarily because we had really bad attention spans as teenagers and kids. And
we were drinking in parks.
When everyone else was watching Friends. Do you know what I mean? We had a typical working class Scottish upbringing. And then we came to friends late because our bestest friends, we call ourselves the Wolves, the four of us, because wolves hunt in packs. They are obsessed with Friends. You know, every episode, everything that happens. So in order to cement our friendship and take it to a deeper level, Alan and I had to sort of watch Friends. So I've not actually watched it from start to finish, like chronologically. It's my go-to on telly, because I don't like anything sad, scary or violent. So Friends is fairly safe.
That rules a lot out, that does.
Yeah.
Our level of Friends thing is like when someone says, got the keys, you know, all our other friends go, got the keys, or whatever it is. And yeah. Lisa and I go, got the secret. So
So you miss Friends.
Slightly missing it. Sure. But also, I've got a good friend's story that a girl that I went to college with had narcolepsy, and she used to watch Friends to fall asleep at night.
It's narcolepsy, isn't that the one where you do fall asleep?
Yeah. So her narcolepsy was when she laughed, all her muscles relaxed, she fell asleep. So yeah.
Oh my God.
Weird, isn't it?
Yeah, no, exactly. Like, she was a dancer. Firstly, quite dangerous. And then
did she like fall asleep mid dance?
Yeah. Oh, like, and I wasn't allowed to stand near her because I'd make her laugh at the ballet bar.
Did she fall asleep like every time she laughed, basically?
Yeah. So basically, it's not necessarily like falling asleep, but her muscles would completely, every single muscle in her body would completely relax.
Oh my.
Yeah. Goodness. So she used to fall to the ground. So it was actually quite dangerous. But she used to watch Friends at night to relax and fall asleep. Yeah.
That is. I want to do this. Can we just do the whole podcast on narcolepsy?
Yeah. There's a whole series in that, Dave.
Because
yeah.
I don't know enough about it. Because you only ever see like in like sitcoms or films where it's really exaggerated. But it's mad, isn't
but
it?
It's legit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. Anyway, let's talk about. So, how did you choose your episode? You've chosen an interesting episode for a couple of reasons. How did you come to that decision?
Well, firstly, we asked our pals.
Yep.
We asked the girls, and they said. And I do remember snippets of this one, because I remember crying and feeling for Rachel. And I also remember basically thinking that all Phoebe's maternity wear is basically my whole wardrobe. And thinking, I mean, she looks great in that. I mean, I live in dungarees and obviously space trousers.
The aforementioned
space
pants, yeah.
Yeah, and I just remember looking at the episode going, oh my God, I love those dungarees. Oh my God, I love what she's wearing. Yes, yes,
and
yes.
And it's like what you think before you move to London, London's like.
Right.
And then you move to London in a flat in Willesden Green and it's definitely not that.
I know the first thing that you notice is, so we'll talk about it. So it's the one with Ross's wedding.
Yeah.
Which is the London one. Sorry. But only part one, yeah?
Yeah? Yeah, I mean, we can sort of saunter into part two.
No, I like that you've only chosen part one for two reasons. One, there's two of you and you've chosen half an episode.
Yeah.
Half
so, yeah, that's a quarter each, which
we've
is
got half a brain though, so.
Real lazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And two, like the best thing about the London episodes, all of it's in part two. Like Chandler and Monica, Ross and Rachel,
I rewatched part two as well, and then I was like, damn it, we should have gone for part two.
No, I really like
it. I like the setup in part one.
And Richard Branson's in it. What was it not to like?
Looking very young and suave.
He has very dark hair in this, doesn't he? Very dark hair in this episode.
Coarse and curly.
Yeah.
You forget how long ago this is. It's 1998. It's 21 years ago.
Yeah.
So he's looking like an actual young human rather than quite a withered old man.
Very rich old man. Yeah. Dripping in cash.
I was reading back some reviews of it and everybody hated Richard Branson's performance in Britain, apparently.
Really? So
he has quite a few lines.
Yeah, he does. And I thought he was all right.
I thought he delivered them well.
Yeah. Big chunk.
Like, he's no Fergie. We'll come on to Fergie in a bit.
But, oh my God.
But apparently, that was the thing that, like, the Independent were just like, Richard Branson was embarrassing.
Of course.
And all this sort of stuff.
The thing is, I think he didn't really quite get into like the full salesman because he was like, I'm an entrepreneur, I'm not a salesman. And I think maybe he just quite didn't get into character as much as he should have.
You feel like he can quite like channel the...
He didn't channel it well enough.
No.
I don't think I appreciated that he was recognisable in America, which he obviously is because...
Yeah, I thought the same thing.
He wouldn't be in there.
But then obviously... Yeah, and his face is next to quite a lot of planes there, I would presume.
Yeah.
Yeah, and clearly there was some sort of heavily... sponsored
branded
deal because
yeah.
I mean again this is part two which we should say is banned from this podcast when Rachel does fly over it's on a Virgin plane
I haven't noticed that
they're quite clear and it's the same with the hotel they're in which is clearly the one that they put the cast up in which doesn't make sense because those guys would not be able to afford the hotel
exactly. I know
unless the parents paid for it
unless Emily's parents paid
well this is what I want to come on to so we're jumping ahead I'm going to read the synopsis for the one with Ross's wedding part one but I'm just hit my head on a thing on Wikipedia it's the synopsis for the whole one in London so I'm going to have to just try and stop halfway through
omit bits self censorship
I think we should have a part two buzzer
exactly every time we're talking about something in part two we're just like everyone's not allowed okay so part one everyone but Rachel and Phoebe goes to London for the wedding of Ross and Emily. Joey bores Chandler while sightseeing in London. Meanwhile, Ross and Emily are shocked to discover that their wedding venue is going through a demolition, and Monica tries to persuade Emily to postpone it. Back in New York, Phoebe attempts to make Rachel forget about Ross, but Rachel goes to the airport to inform Ross she still loves him. Later... Oh, we get to this is still part one. Later, Ross and Monica surprise Emily by turning the ruins into a stunning venue. Joey becomes homesick, but has one of the bridesmaids. Stop, that's it.
That's it.
That's part two, isn't it? So he starts to be homesick in part one, and then bridesmaid
and then
part two.
Bridesmaid,
Nad for us. Let's talk about, so there's two bits of this episode. The bits in London and the bits in New York, basically. The hotel, right? Far too nice. You've mentioned that their really rich family have paid for it. Here's my question. Why Ross and Emily in the bridal suite like a week before the wedding?
I thought that.
When she lives in London.
Yeah,
you live in London.
Clearly a nice house.
Yeah.
Maybe they sort of live in Surrey or something like that. But they're not in central London.
Wouldn't you stay there?
Yeah.
That must be a lot of money at that hotel for the bridal suite.
And they're already arguing about the wine cellar. Never mind anything else. They're
right.
Do you know what I mean?
There's clearly rooms to spare.
And her Matt, Jennifer Saunders plays the mum.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She wouldn't be living in Surrey, let's face it. Do you know what I mean?
They're in Kensington, aren't they?
They're in Kensington and or...
Highgate.
Yeah. They're in Hampstead or something like that. Yeah, let's not play around.
No, they're not in Surrey.
Also, at the very start of the episode, in case we don't go back there, Monica Geller is the Marie Kondo of our generation. You know, when you're like, she would have made a boatload of cash.
Right.
If it happened now, I was like, they should do a Netflix series of Monica Geller decluttering folks' houses.
Yeah, it'd be amazing. Oh my God.
And then just all shoving it into one closet.
Yeah. We all, Alana and I, when we're packing, have what we call the salad bowl, which is basically our suitcases with all of our clothes arranged like a salad bowl, which basically means they're just sort of all mushed up together in the suitcase. No folding. Really? No folding, no preparation.
Yeah. And our check technique is literally a WhatsApp going, you better have your passport. You better have this. Have you remembered the DJ headphones? Have you remembered the USBs?
I stopped worrying about what I pack a long time. I'm just like, passport and wallet?
You can buy anything else.
Yeah, exactly.
That I need.
Is there an H&M near?
Yeah, probably.
You can Amazon Prime it.
Right, exactly.
Whatchamacallit.
Although
I had a
faff with Amazon Prime when I was in America last. Do not like you using a UK account to order stuff to America. It's an absolute faff, I'll tell you that, guys.
An absolute faff.
So let's pack appropriately and then be inspired.
I will say, I do enjoy Amazon and I really like it because we are still looking for sponsorship. I don't want to ruin out any brands at this level, but it's a faff, guys. Amazon's a faff.
Yeah. I do think Monica wanting to leave absurdly early for her flight because she just assumes that literally everything will go wrong. That's kind of like my parents' approach to plane travel. You have to arrive about 10 hours before because think of all the complications.
Yeah, and think how much you could spend in giraffe at the airport. You know what I mean? Like £15 for a Caesar salad. Yes, please.
That is so true. That's usually what my parents, we used to get there at least three and a half hours before.
Yeah.
But I'm like the opposite. I'll be like checking clothes an hour before. I'll be there 61 minutes.
Yes.
Check a suitcase in. Through we go.
Yeah. Skin of teeth. Also, another thing I wanted to add about the New York thing. Do you think they measured Phoebe's bump accurately for having triplets?
Well, fun fact for you.
Okay, yeah. I thought you'd know.
So Phoebe was pregnant. At the time, Lisa Kudrow was pregnant.
Yeah, because her lips look juicy. Yeah, her lips look juicy. Glowing.
Yeah. So yeah, she's got the pregnant glow. Yeah, like you say. Fun fact number one. She gave birth to her actual son on the day this episode was on television. True story.
Love that.
And fun fact number two, they added padding so that her single baby pregnancy would look like triplets.
Triplets.
So they sort of measured it out. Yeah,
they measured it out.
She does look massive. Yeah, she does look like a tank, doesn't she, at this point?
Yeah. I mean, our mum obviously carried both of us. We were quite small. But our friends that are twins were £8 each. That's a stone of child.
Wow.
And our mum said that even with us being quite wee, she couldn't walk for like the last month. She just had a tray that she used to balance on her bump and that was it. So Phoebe's doing, I know she gets everyone to come and get her stuff, but she's doing quite well to stand up and quite a little bit.
Yeah, to be fair, any moving is positive, isn't it?
Yeah. And another thing that struck me in that first bit was the techniques that Phoebe uses to try and put Rachel off Ross. We have done this many a time with our friends.
Is this a real thing?
Yeah, well, not the sort of aversion to, I mean, I didn't slap anyone in the face when they thought about them, but I mean, there's been like sort of looking over WhatsApp conversations, WhatsApp groups deleted, basically slating him and his family and everything he's ever said.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like to try and put you off.
So Phoebe sits down with these photos of Ross, doesn't she? And it feels like, because it's like in a nice New York apartment and we're used to it, we're kind of like, oh yeah, this is cool. But then if you sort of strip that all away, it's kind of like a weird ritual from
which
like,
it
feels really odd.
Well, I thought
odd.
She was going to get the sage out.
Yeah, right. It feels really medieval and just bizarre.
She does completely undermine herself by saying at the start, just want to say, I absolutely love Ross. I think he's such a great guy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, but it's always the time where like, when you do that with a friend that you sort of want to tread carefully in case they get back together or in case something happens. So you're like, when he did this specific thing, he was an idiot.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh yeah, but you try and not like,
it's a tricky balancing act.
Oh yeah.
Especially when like, he's the brother of one of your mates and you're all,
they're all six mates
together. So yeah, so Rachel feels like she does, Rachel kind of realizes in this weird scene that she does still love Ross, right?
Yeah.
So at the start, she's like, I don't love Ross. And then, do you notice what she was doing while this was happening?
Cutting the flowers.
When has Rachel ever done a flower arrangement?
And
why did she get the flowers?
There must be some sort of purpose to her doing that. Because when friends' characters are having conversations, they're not often in the middle of something while they're chatting.
Because dialogue's so quick that there's not really time for anything else because it's so quick.
Yeah, it does feel like there was like a deleted scene later where she was supposed to be doing something with flowers.
Unless she was bringing them home for Phoebe because Phoebe was sort of stuck in the house and she wanted to cheer her up a bit. But her dungarees, Phoebe's dungarees in that scene just cheer anyone up anyway. Lemon dungarees, yes please.
There's an odd thing in that, it does make it feel like Phoebe's sort of stuck in that apartment, can't get off the sofa, and then she makes a reference to seeing someone that looks like Joey on the subway.
So
she is out and about. I thought that was a bit of a weird thing to drop in.
She's playing the game, is Phoebe, isn't she?
Yeah.
Unless she was looking out the window.
That's true, yeah.
Well, at the Subway, she's got extra rear vision or sitting at Shakes, man.
Well, we yeah. don't really know how far the apartment is away from the Subway, do you?
You know, but the Subway's no. underground, that's why it's a Subway.
Yeah, but he could have been going into the Subway, like down the stairs mm-hmm. into the Subway.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I feel like we're stretching here, but yeah.
Yeah, we are.
I feel like she was probably on the Subway.
Is it out of interest, is there anyone that you can ask about these things? Like, what, for like when on the podcast checker? In general, yeah.
No, we rely really. Almost exclusively no. on Wikipedia and IMDb.
Yeah, which
but
is...
But then surely that's
yeah.
gospel anyway, isn't it?
That's
well,
true.
Exactly. Well, exactly, what more could you ask for?
There's quite a good few facts about this episode because it was like the first one they'd done in London. So,
yeah.
And because like when you watch it when you were a kid, you don't know how it all works. But basically, they wrote this entire storyline because there was some sort of deal with them coming to London to shoot an episode.
Oh, really? So they just made
so up. They were like, oh, we think Ross is going to get married. So what if he marries an English girl and then they all have to go to London? And then it's just, I don't know why yeah. it was. Some sort of like producers were like, we've got to go to London. We got to do
yeah.
this.
Yeah.
It feels really weird to see them on location as well and filming outside in actual places, because usually when there's those scenes outside Central Perk, it's still quite clearly a set, whereas this yeah. time they're actually
I thought that.
Are in a real place.
They look like they're CGI'd on top of yeah, things sometimes, like green screen London.
They just look different. Yeah, you know, they look a bit younger. I don't yeah, know what it is.
It's very strange.
And you see how tiny, thin all the women are when you see them like next to other
next
humans.
To other real
like,
humans, yeah.
Wow, you're all very small.
Apparently this was only the second episode that was filmed on location at all.
Oh, really?
So everything else had been done on a set.
I can remember there's one episode when Joey and Chandler have baby Ben and they're out and about on buses, aren't
yes,
they?
Yes, I think that was the first one. Yeah, yeah,
that's
when they're on the bus
only,
and they lose Ben.
Even beyond this point in the rest of Friends, I can't think of too many episodes. There's them in parks,
there's Vegas.
And running through parks and stuff in Vegas, yeah, but it doesn't happen often, does it?
Vegas is the other like notable one because yeah. they're definitely in those like casinos and yeah. they've got loads of deals to yeah. stay there for yeah, free. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I always think as well, like, it is quite interesting that they, because there's obviously a lot going on because it's New London, they've got all the cameos,
yeah.
and yet still it's quite a seminal episode for change. Like Rachel's covering She Don't Love Ross,
yeah.
obviously Monica and Chandler, part two.
Nope, alarm.
But do you know what I mean? It's quite like you'd think that would just be enough. Like they all sort of trot around London,
right.
and then. But actually, there's so much curveballs and swerves.
I think that's why it is a good episode, yeah. though, because it's yeah. like they've packed in. Like you could have just, we'd all been happy just watching them wander around London.
Oh, exactly.
In like the middle of the season, mm-hmm. having a nice time.
Yeah. Watching Joy try and navigate a map
yeah.
for an hour for 20 minutes, yeah. would be absolutely.
The
fine.
Thing that made me really laugh was like all the sort of extras as they're like coming out the hotel look like they're at the Mary Poppins Bank. Yeah. Oh, what do English people? People look like
yeah.
they're in London. Oh yeah, they all look like they're from whatever century.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
Like, are bankers
exactly? Yeah, they do. They're all dressed the same. But it's again, this is another thing because I just don't recall any of this when I first watched it. But apparently,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
there was a lot of like in the British press, a lot of people going like, "This isn't what Britain's like. This is not what English people are like." You know, there was
yeah,
like a
yeah.
lot of backlash of them just being really stereotypical about Brits
yeah.
and stuff. But it's the other thing about them being in London is there's not that much London involved, is there?
No.
Like
no,
when you really think about
rooms
it,
and
they
that.
Could have just flown Fergie and Richard Branson. Fergie's over there.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I know.
Just fly Richard Branson to New York, and that's basically the
yeah.
biggest thing. There's a couple of like establishing shots of Buckingham Palace and
yeah.
a bit of Westminster Abbey, but
yeah.
they don't really make the most of being in London
no.
at all.
No,
get
no,
down
no.
down at Camden.
Right, exactly.
I guess as well, if there is some sort of deal in place to make, you know, London the focus of this episode for that reason, then you're going to try and make it look as stereotypically British and stereotypically London
yeah.
and touristy as you possibly can, aren't you? Because that's kind of what people are expecting to see.
That's the selling point.
Yeah, exactly. Visit London must have probably paid them.
Right, exactly. And they want Americans to watch it and be like, oh,
yeah,
I
exactly.
can meet Richard Branson at the
yeah,
market.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'll bump into Fergie.
I actually bought Alana the first time I ever came to London on a school trip. One of the, my sister went to London and only got with this lousy t-shirt.
Great.
And you didn't appreciate it. It was
no.
like the great Globe Gate of 1996, or whatever it was. I bought Alana a globe for our 10th birthday.
Right.
And
just a normal globe with countries
no,
on.
No, 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 lit up and everything.
Oh, lit up.
It's the best globe that anyone has ever seen. That yeah. Toys R Us has ever sold. And she didn't like it, so we've never brought each other presents since.
Is that true?
Good story.
Oh, yeah.
That you stopped buying presents.
Yeah, that was it. She didn't
and
appreciate
it's a bit pointless. Just cancels each other out. Do you know what I mean? And when we were skinning in our early 20s and still are now, it's just like, what's the point? Our presents just cancel each other out.
So you, how did you hate it? So, like, what happened?
She just was not appreciated. I didn't get the reaction I wanted. I wanted every time we went on holiday to put a little pin on the places that
it's
we've
probably
been.
Probably because you wanted it rather than me. You probably wanted the globe that you bought me.
Yeah, that is a problem, especially with your siblings.
No, you I thought it was something that we maybe could do together.
Yeah,
and you weren't up for it. But actually, the only present since was the T-shirt from London, and you didn't really like that much.
No, you're just not.
Have you ever thought about it? Might be you.
Yeah, present bag.
I think there is a common denominator. Yeah. Might be me.
Yeah,
that's a nice little insight into your into your childhood,
a little
guys.
Random segue there. Yeah. But I also think like we're thinking that about London, but I didn't live in London in 1998. Could look like that.
Yeah, me either. I was watching it in Manchester happily. Yeah. Sort of going, ooh, yeah. London. This looks exciting. As exciting for me as it is for like Americans, probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just watching people go to London.
There's one bit outside the hotel when Joey and Chandler are stepping into the map, and then a car sort of parks next to them, and it looks like one of the oldest cars I have ever seen. It really ages the whole thing. Because, like, outdoors, like, the buildings look much the same as they do now. But then this, I think it's like a J-Reg car, reverses into a space outside and it completely ages the whole episode.
Oh, that's the
thing. See if we've not, like, now, anything earlier than a hybrid car is basically chitty-chitty bang-bang. Yeah. You're like, what's this slow-moving beast?
There was somebody on one of the nerd forums had put something about apparently when there's a shot, there's a shot on the number 109 bus goes past, Big Ben.
Yeah, I caught that.
Someone's going, the number 109 goes from Croydon to Brixton and would never be north of the river. And it's like, here's the interesting thing about that. I was like, that is too much detail to care about. Mm-hmm. But also, did they hire a specific
bus and
just put a random number on to do a different... Like,
did they ask TfL?
Just, right. And like, why not just film Big Ben?
Yeah.
There's definitely buses go past all the time.
Bizarre. Exactly.
Like, it seems like such a strange level of effort to have gone to get something wrong.
Hi guys, Shangela Superfemio here, telling you to please listen to the Brian and Roger podcast. Now, I don't know who's written it, but whoever it is probably a genius. So I think you should give it a listen because it's such great stuff.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So let's hone in on the London bit. Ross and Emily. So there's loads of things. So the building's getting torn down. Everything's going wrong, apparently. Or they sort of scoot all over that. They don't have any musicians or catering or something's all going wrong.
Yeah.
And they walk to this thing and it's all been demolished. Mm-hmm. But then have you ever been able to walk into a demolition site?
Just go to the builders.
No hard hats. Nothing. They just wandered in. Mm-hmm. There's a worker in there, looked up and was just like, oh yeah, this makes sense.
Yeah.
Just some random people wandering in.
When they reach the venue and they go inside, as you say, and they see it being dismantled. Did you notice what the builders in the background are doing?
No.
There are two builders and they are placing each individual brick into a wheelbarrow one by one, and it is painfully slow. Like, it would take years to dismantle that building if that is the rate that they're doing it.
We know it's the 90s, but come on, forklift trucks.
Just two hands, lads. Just one brick in each hand.
Yeah, exactly. Where's your TCB?
If that had happened at my wedding, I would be like, boys, if you don't start putting those bricks back together in the next 5 minutes, I'm getting the heavies down.
They do skirt over it really easily. Like, oh, guys, they've just started demolishing it early. It's like, I would be Livid.
Oh. Yeah. Also, there was like you could tell it had been built like a set because there was sort of like piles of bricks.
Yeah.
But sort of placed so that it was like looked perspective, so it probably looked a bit deeper than it did. It wasn't just like rubble on the floor. Yeah. It was like you could still see the floor and then just sort of strategic piles of bricks.
Yeah, a big space in the middle. Right. Understanding.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Also, if you're at the point where you are dismantling a building quite that much and you see it from the outside and there's literally just one wall left from the outside, there is not a chance that somewhere like that is safe to then host a wedding with lots of guests as
absolutely
well.
Not
and no one's like, insurance is covering that.
The front of it was sort of half the front of it was falling down like the castle in Frozen when it starts to melt. It was like sort of weirdly, I was like, oh, it's not really demolished properly. You'd think they probably wouldn't do it that way. You'd probably do the inside and then just knock the outer walls.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you wouldn't keep it all. Okay. Unless the builders wanted to keep a roof over their heads for their lunchtime sarnies. I don't know. But it didn't seem like. I would like to ask a builder or a demolisher if that's a job.
I've always assumed you don't sort of half demolish a building. Don't they just get like a big wrecking ball
or like
they wire it up and just do the thing like in a cartoon where they plunge it and it just falls down? Like, who's literally just taking a brick out one by one and going, guys, this is the best way to just literally unbuilding a house.
Reverse Jenga style.
Yeah. I do think as well that they could have solved all of this by someone like the wedding planner just coming in and going, hiya, we might have to change our liability insurance. And then you'd go, all right, okay, someone's thought about it.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like, fine, just one line, that's all it needed was just to be, who's got liability for this? Right. Has anyone done a risk assessment?
No, absolutely not.
There was none of that.
But they seem very chilled insurance-wise and access-wise because then they just let Ross wander in and string up thousands of fairy lights after hours.
On his own.
Just on his own. Just hanging in there. No one's supervising him at all.
No.
Yeah. Emily was so calm to Ross when he suggested.
Where's the electricity coming from? Like, I mean, if there's not walls, how's there electricity?
There's so many problems, but the main one, I was like, it just didn't look that great. No, do you know what I mean?
I mean,
it was like a demolition site and now it's got fairy lights on. That wouldn't suddenly make me go.
It doesn't look good enough to completely win Emily over.
That's what I mean. She walks in and goes, oh my goodness, the walls are back. You know, it's like, no, it just looks like a shithole with lights on.
Candles. Another health and safety error.
My main concern was that very, very taffeta or whatever dress and those naked flames. I was like, oh.
No.
She is going to be on fire.
And then so you watched part, we're not going to talk about part two much, but from my memory,
is that part two?
When part two happens and the wedding actually happens, it looks like brilliant and beautiful.
Oh, it looks amazing.
The venue looks like a complete venue.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's in part two. You see the candles and stuff.
But it's...
Yeah, oh my God, it looks amazing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. How have they done that?
Monica Geller. That's how they've done that.
Yeah, she's
Marie Kondo herself.
She's done it all.
Before they get to this point, Ross and Emily have that conversation in their bridal suite where they basically fall out. Because what's the reason they fall out, don't they? Because Ross finds out that Monica suggested that they postpone the wedding and Emily wants to do that. They both seem so unhappy, like in that scene. They don't actually seem like they're on the same page. Yeah, they seem doomed, don't they?
Yeah, it seems like it's rushed anyway, and then it's like she just sort of far too quickly goes, fine, then we won't get married.
It turns very quickly, doesn't it? And they're really at each other's throats. The interesting thing about Ross and Emily is that that was supposed to be forever originally.
Oh, was it?
So when they were writing it, they were like, oh, Ross has married Emily. The end. Emily lives in America now. But then she got pregnant, I think, and didn't want to stay. Helen Baxendale.
Oh, really?
Didn't want to stay in America. So they were like, cool, ride her out very quickly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that was why the whole...
I'm glad she did get written out.
Yeah, well, exactly.
I just didn't think the relationship was, I don't know what would you do in that situation, Anna, if you and Luke's wedding, if for some reason Kinko Bayer got
went up in flames
2 days before the wedding. Would you postpone it or what would you do?
Probably postpone it, I think.
Yeah.
But then people weren't flying over the Atlantic, were they?
Yeah, that's true.
That's it. There's a lot of effort gone in this wedding.
Yeah, and like Monica's speech about all girls imagining that with their thing and all. I mean, Alan and I are the opposite. I want to imagine a wedding from when the globe case 10 years ago.
I would have preferred a veil rather than the globe. But
yeah, I have or a pillowcase. You were lucky with a globe. Yeah, I've just never thought about it. So if that happened to me, I would just be like, all right, yeah, okay, cool. We'll just have a party because everyone's here.
I just
here
think you just do it in a different... If you're in like a hotel, you'd be like, all right, get a just function room.
Yeah, exactly.
Just do it in there.
Just
we'll make it look nice.
I would bother at all.
It's not worth it, is it?
No.
It's really not
I
worth
don't know,
it.
Like...
But Alana would be bright. Alana's acting really? Like she's chill. The night before Alana's wedding, I was in the venue trying to hang roses in glass jars from beams of a buyer in St. Andrews. And I was like, Alana was like, if you could put it up a bit down. I was like, oh my God, this is... And then she's like, I wasn't Bridezilla at all. I was like,
on reflection,
yes,
looking
were.
Back?
Yeah, I probably was.
This episode really ends at a strange point as well. So going back, because I forgot where it ended. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I thought there'd be more of a big moment.
Yeah.
But it just sort of ends when Rachel's going. And I suppose her going to London is like
a
moment.
She leaves
she
the house.
She just leaves the house and Phoebe goes like, why are you here, basically, or something.
Yeah.
And then it's like,
or did she start the phone call? No.
No, none of that. No, it's literally just her going to the air. Because in part two, alarm. But she comes back, doesn't she? Because she's forgotten her passport or something or other. And then she goes back out again.
Yeah.
It wasn't even that, but it was just like, she's just on her way to London.
I don't know if Phoebe did her best to dissuade her. Either. It was just like, oh, I don't think you should because he's in love with Emily. Okay, bye then. I'll be here. Bye.
Right.
I was like,
when she says, like, it's not over till someone says, I do. And Phoebe's like, I do.
But yeah, I think you're right. It's like, if you were Phoebe in that moment, you'd have been like, you're fucking mad. What are you doing?
Exactly. That,
this is the stupidest thing you'll ever do.
Carnage. Like, think how it's going to affect Emily. I think it's going to affect you. Try your hardest.
He's been locking the door, like standing over the door.
Yeah, right, exactly. But she
or
was
you'd
just
be like, here's a bottle of wine with a straw. Drink that and see how you feel. Like, do you know what I mean? Or shot some vodka in your eyeball. I don't know.
Deal with problems.
Oh my God, that's absolutely how I deal with problems.
Always bottle of wine with a straw.
Exactly.
Or drown herself in gin.
Yeah, exactly.
Baths of gin.
Also, right at the start of this episode, when Ross is still in New York and he's trying to get Rachel to come with him and go to the wedding, he doesn't seem to understand why Rachel might not want to be there. Like, he says, like, this is my wedding. Like, you should be there. Like, he doesn't understand. There's just something inherently about not wanting to be at his wedding that she doesn't want to do.
Yeah, and also, like, their body language is still quite intimate in that moment.
He grabs
like, it's
both
not like
the hands,
pally.
Doesn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, he grabs both the hands. It's not like pally, like, oh, please come to my wedding. Like, you're my best friend. I really want you to be there. It's like, he won't enjoy it.
Yeah.
As much, or it won't feel like his wedding if she's not there, and it's like a really intimate hold. And I was just about like, oh, that's. And Jennifer Aniston smashes it acting in that bit, and she smashes it.
That's
in
a really like
and
that's
that.
Probably
like,
the serious moment. It's like proper like
so poignant.
Yeah, but it's very odd that Ross has not clicked. It's like she obviously would have just got the days off work.
Yeah,
I know
exactly.
Wherever she's working,
she's not Richard Branson,
right?
But bless Rachel for going. But I think in her head she thinks that Ross still loves her and loves her more than it does Emily. Otherwise, you wouldn't go.
Yeah.
No.
She thinks that he's going to, it's like Phoebe said, she thinks he's going to go, aye, all right, fine. And I think that's sometimes not the sign of a very good person that she's going to go, like she has to respect. That's not the best thing for Ross.
No, she's going to disrupt.
She's going to disrupt
she?
It. Yeah.
But the thing is, I think we've all got to bear in mind with friends is that, you know, it's not just like someone that you're in love with, but all the friends are involved as well. So the fact that she didn't go was quite prominent because it's like she's taken herself out of the friendship group. And, you know, so her relationship with Ross has almost taken precedent over them being a group of friends and one of them not being at any of their wedding, irrespective of anything else.
It's weird, isn't it? Yeah, because they do everything together.
Yeah, and I always think sometimes like Monica and Rachel's relationship, you'd think that that'd be the sort of thing. I know that it's difficult because Monica and Ross are brother and sister, but you'd think that'd be the sort of thing that you'd see a bit more of them confiding in each other about that. Like Rachel being like to her, should I come, should I not? Mm. And that even speaking to Joey about it or speaking to anyone else about it, but you don't, I know she sort of realises once they've all gone, but you'd think you'd see a bit more of that.
I mean, the thing that really struck me more than anything was how cheap flights were last minute back in 1990. She's like, oh, I'll just go to London now.
Yeah, exactly.
She's just, get your credit card out, I'm off.
Yeah, and she's got three bags as well.
Mad.
So she's paying extra luggage.
But I mean, she is boldly just, even now you wouldn't just go to the airport and be like, want to get to New York, please?
No. Yeah.
Is that even possible?
So my friend tried to do it once about 2 years ago because he was like, everyone's always saying you go to the airport, you'll get like a really cheap last minute seat. So he had like 3 days off work and tried to go. And he's like, What's the cheapest flight leaving in an hour? And they were like, oh, it's to Amsterdam. It's £550. You know, it's just so ridiculous. much more than it would have been. And he was like, this has not worked out. I'm going home.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to Brighton.
Yeah, exactly.
That takes the romanticism out of it if it happened now. Like, I think there's something romantic about like running through the security with your ticket, your printed out boarding pass in hand, and blah, blah, blah. Now it'd be like, I'm just going to download the app and I've already checked in on my pass. And I'm just going to scan that in. And there we go.
Go through security.
Exactly. Do you have an iPad? Yeah, I'll just take that out.
With you in about 10 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't get on the plane.
Can you take your belt off?
I'm just taking my toiletries out. I'll be. You keep filming.
So Rachel's at the door. She's on her way to London. That's where the episode ends. The only other thing that happens in London now is that Joey starts to get homesick, which becomes more of a thing in part two, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But he only really becomes homesick because Phoebe orders a pizza and he puts cheers on the telly. It feels like he's triggered too easily, Joey.
And also, I always think, like, why are you missing home? Because you can get pizza in London,
right?
And also just watch Cheers on the telly. What do you want to do?
Like, also, four of your six friends are there as well.
Exactly,
it's not like you're on your own. There's like four of you there, and there's just two of them left at home.
That did annoy me a bit.
Yeah,
to be fair.
You'll be fine, mate.
Yeah.
But then he gets more and more depressed, doesn't he? And then, as soon as it came on, it goes away because he just decides, oh, I'm not homesick anymore because I'm going to have sex.
Yeah, exactly.
With the bridesmaid, part two, alarm.
Oh yeah, is that part two?
That is part two, I'm afraid, guys. So we're going to actually have to wrap up the chat about part one because somebody else is going to have to choose part two at some point on this podcast in the future.
Yeah.
But, you know, for now, we will never know what happened with Ross's marriage or whether Chandler got with anyone at the wedding.
And most importantly, what the fairy lights look like.
Exactly. Yeah. So many mysteries. Right, let's finish it off with our little quiz.
Okay.
That we always do.
Okay.
Five questions. It's our attention to detail quiz. Mm-hmm. Just for the
This specific episode.
Just this specific episode.
Yeah. Okay. You've definitely seen all the answers in action.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Some are hard, some are easy.
Okay.
Are we doing it against each other?
Ooh, that's fun, isn't it? Yeah, all right.
Okay,
let's do it against each other. Say your name if you think you know the answer.
Okay.
And then it's a buzz in.
Yeah.
Question one. Where does Joey keep his passport?
Alana.
Lisa. Ooh,
third drawer down. In the bedroom?
Yeah, third drawer of his dresser.
That's good.
Great.
Well done.
That's 1-0 to Alana.
Question two. Boom. Where do they stay in London?
Does it see it?
You see it.
Do you?
There's a shot, and it's clear. It's like a really clear shot. So when Chandler and Joey are coming out of the hotel, just before the map, they just pan up to the name of the hotel because they've obviously got a deal with them. Like, it's really obvious product placement. Nothing.
The Hilton?
I mean, it was a good guess. It's the Marriott.
The London, I did see that.
Yeah,
I did
London see that. Marriott in Grosvenor Square. I looked it up. It's at least £300 a night. And that's just for the basic room. That bridal suite is...
I mean, even if they got a group save, still.
Yeah.
Eye-watering.
But that is that thing that I mentioned earlier. Clearly, that's where the cast of Friends were staying. Like, some of the most famous actors in the world.
Yeah.
AKA one of the nicest hotels you could have possibly stayed in.
Yeah. We'll just double up.
We're supposed to believe that, like, out-of-work actor Joey could afford to stay there.
Yeah.
Question three. What does the cellist have that means they can't now play at the wedding?
Alana. Carpal tunnel syndrome.
Great.
I really thought you wouldn't get that. That was such a...
No,
it
I
said
didn't.
So quickly as well. But it's a really weirdly specific thing for them to mention.
One of our friends, actually, one of their best friends that's a Friends fan, super fan, just had carpal tunnel syndrome.
Really?
Yeah. She did, yeah.
She's really living that Friends fantasy life.
I know, exactly.
Sort of everything they do in that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Question four. What three things does Phoebe say she needs to help Rachel get over Ross?
Oh, Anna. Photos of Ross, tepid water and chocolate.
Correct.
3-0, mate.
Three.
Lisa, you are...
I'm getting absolutely... Lagging.
You can't win now, so...
Good reflexes.
It's really... Yeah, good... And good fact. Would you have got that?
Yeah, I would have got that.
You would have got that?
Yeah.
Lies.
No, I would have.
And question five, finally. Where do they keep the food for the duck?
Alana, it's in their apartment and something like in the kitchen... Second kitchen drawer or something?
It's under the sink.
Under the sink.
Apartment.
Ha ha, you've shamed yourself, Alana.
Don't speak too soon, Lisa, because you have, let me count them up, 0 points. Guys, thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Hope you've had a nice time. That's it. We don't really have a way of starting this podcast and we don't really have a way of ending it. So we sort of just sort of, we do this a bit, don't we, Pete? We just sort of say bye.
Yeah,
and
just
then,
say bye.
There's no really wrap up.
Let's go to Westminster Abbey.
Let's do it.
Thank you. Good night.
Bye.
Bye.
Hello, we're still here. Next week on Friends with Friends, we have the wonderful television presenter, Lindsay Russell. Hi, Lindsay Russell.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great.
Great, that's good.
Nice. I've just had some coconut milk.
The pleasantries are over. Tell everybody what episode you've chosen so they can go away and watch it in time for next week's episode.
Yes, do your research. Yes. It's a busy one. I chose the one where they all turn 30.
The one where they all turn 30. Season 7, episode 14, the one where they all turn 30. Go and watch and we will discuss it next week. Bye.
Goodbye.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Hi, I'm Julia Rayside, and I'd like to invite you aboard my podcast. Always There is the only podcast to navigate through every single episode in order of the 1980s seafaring soap opera, Howard's Way. You don't have to love Howard's Way or even remember it. We're going to talk about it anyway, because I think it's brilliant.
Somebody's nicked my bloody boat!
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.